Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Monday, August the 16th, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. And I know a lot of people who normally have not been up at this time are up this morning because today is the first day for Marion City Schools. Now, I believe that Wednesday is the first day for River Valley. Now, I'm not sure about Ridgedale or Elgin at this point, but are Pleasant. If anybody wants to let me know when Ridgedale or Elgin or Pleasant starts, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944, and we'll be glad to talk about that as well. But I do know that I'm pretty sure River Valley starts Wednesday, and I know that Marion City Schools started this morning. Now, I'll tell you two ways I know this. Number one, the line at McDonald's this morning was shorter because a lot of kids are back in school or getting there before I am because of school starting so much earlier. I believe the high school, because the McDonald's that I use is close to the high school and probably the middle school, and the high school, I believe, starts right after 7 o'clock. So they would have to get there a little bit before I would in the morning to get their breakfast. So I know it that way. And I also know it because when I was coming up Washington Street over here, across from the radio station, there was a Marion City Schools school bus out this morning. So I haven't seen one of those since May. So school is back in session, dear old Golden Rule Days, 16 minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio. So I hope everybody had a great morning putting on their new school clothes, their new shoes, getting pictures. I know we'll see a lot of pictures today, first day of school pictures on the internet. And I hope everybody has a great first day of the 2021-2022 school year, which should be a very, very interesting one. But as I say, if anybody knows the first day for Ridgedale or Elgin or Pleasant, or wants to confirm the first day for River Valley, which I believe is Wednesday, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. Now, I do have an event that I want to let everybody know about. Saturday, August 21st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 650 Her Road here in Marion will be the big, well, you know, I'm looking at this flyer, and I don't know if this event has a title, but it's a fun event. Learn to Fly. Fixed wings, rotary wing, quadcopters, warbirds, jets, gas, electric, nitro, FPV experience, flight simulators, learn the FAA rules, learn about the AMA, bring your sunscreen and lawn chairs. You are welcome to bring a portable canopy. Watch skilled RC pilots do some amazing flying. This event is coming up Saturday, August 21st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. this coming weekend, 650 Her Road here in Marion. Also want to let you know that the rain date, because heavens knows we are having rain, the rain date for this event will be August 28th. So there you go. Big events going on here in Marion. Now, a lot to talk about here this morning because it's been one heck of an interesting weekend. A matter of fact, I'm not even sure I had a weekend. It was so incredibly busy after I left here on Friday. So let's get into some of this. Friday night, Which is the reason, this is the reason Angie and I were not on Friday night. We went to Bellefontaine, Ohio. We went with the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Mary Ellen Withrow went with us. And we traveled on over to Bellefontaine, Ohio, because I had heard about this great story over in Bellefontaine. And I had not been to Bellefontaine since I was a kid. My family used to camp over in Bellefontaine. Now, it wasn't really a campground. It was kind of a resort. It had a swimming pool. It had a little general store. It had cabins you could stay in. But you could pull your camper in there. It had miniature golf. That was always popular. It had a game room where you could go play ping pong. And it had actually arcade games up in this game room. And but it did have a little bit of a pond where there was a water slide and you could swim down there, but you could fish and there were paddle boats, all kinds of stuff there. But I had not been to Bellefontaine since I was probably a teenager, because that's the last time I would have been over there. And I'm not even sure if that place is still over there. It had a ton of names when I was growing up. At one point it was called Getaway Lakes. And then at one point it was called, what was it called? I remember they changed the name at one point from Getaway Lakes to something else. But I don't even know if it's still there. I would assume it's still there, but I really don't know. Now, saying all that to say this, ended up back over in Bellefontaine on Friday night. And Mary Ellen rode with us. Ted rode with another guy over there. So we get over there. Now here's problem number one. I had never been to this pizza place. And I'll tell you why this was an interesting story in just a second. But I had never been to this pizza place downtown. So we get to downtown Bellefontaine, which is not extremely busy on a Friday night. But the place we need to go to is behind a barricade. Now, why is there a barricade, we might ask? Well, there's a barricade because there's a Relay for Life event going on in downtown Bellefontaine. Of course, I would be lucky enough to show up on a night when there's a Relay for Life going on, and the owner of the business did not tell me there was a Relay for Life going on, so parking became very complicated. Not to mention the fact we had Mary Ellen with us, and you wouldn't want to park a long distance away from the business to walk at this particular point. So we were trying to find a place we had never been, and that was difficult. Because there are really no signs on the street downtown. Most of the stores downtown, the signs are on the building. Well, you can't see the building if you can't drive by the building because the roads are blocked off with barricades. So this became a whole issue on Friday night before anything else started. So we parked twice and I got out of the car and I would go walk behind the barricade looking, you know, and I was covered by these Relay for Life people. They were hula hooping and doing all these things. And I'm trying to find this pizza shop. And eventually it all worked out. We ended up getting a very good parking space. We ended up finding the pizza spot. But it took about a half hour longer than it normally would have if a Relay for Life had not been going on. So we get over to the pizza shop. And the first thing I want to say, this pizza shop is right across from the courthouse. Now, the Bellefontaine, Ohio courthouse is one of the most beautiful courthouses I have seen in a long, long time. I don't know what they're doing over in Bellefontaine, but this is not a new courthouse. This is an old structure, but they have got it lit up in such a way. The lighting on it is absolutely amazing. And I thought it looked very nice when we got there, but we got there in the daylight. We got there about 7 o'clock, maybe. And we ended up leaving about 10 o'clock. And when we were leaving, the building was just, it looked beautiful in the night light. So that was something to see. So we get into the pizza place. Now here's why we went to this pizza place. It's called 600 Downtown in Bell Fountain. And what's interesting about it, there is the owner of the business is a 34-year-old girl. Owner of the business is a 34-year-old girl. Now, what's interesting about her is that she has been on the Food Network 5 times. She's a 5-time pizza champion when it comes to throwing dough and turning dough and doing all this sort of thing. I think she said she spins 5 doughs in like 25 seconds or something like that. Talented girl. So we went there to interview her, and that's what it was all about. So we did the interview with her, and she was kind of shy, you know, not out in the public a whole lot. But we were all certainly impressed with her establishment. And I guess she bought it from a guy who she used to work for. But she's kind of plain-spoken and 34, and she's a young mother. She's got 3 kids. And it was interesting to talk with her. And Ted was over there, and Ted was great. He, you know, was fun as always. And Mary Ellen was fun, and we took a lot of pictures, and Angie was fun. And it was just a fun night, to be honest with you. So I really enjoyed that. And to be honest with you, we'll play the interview here at some point on WWGH with Brittany and Ted and Mary Ellen and Angie. But it was kind of like a conversation. We all sat around the big table there and pretty much just had a conversation over dinner, which that's a nice type of interview when you're doing that type of interview. But now here's the funny part. We came to a point in the interview. Now, I don't write questions. So at this point in the interview, we're talking to her about, well, I was talking to her about her life. And she had wanted to be a trauma surgeon, and ended up not going to college, and so on and so forth. And anyway, we ended up talking about, is it hard to run a business with 3 kids? And she talked about how her parents were a great support, and how the kids were great. Now, she never mentioned a husband or a boyfriend or anything like that. So I just thought that was kind of odd. Not that you have to be married. Certainly I'm not. But we're just having conversation during this interview, and she's talking about, you know, how she maintains her life with these 3 kids and how she's able to run this pizza shop. So at one point, all I said was, the only question I had was, are you married? That's it. Because I thought, is there somebody else here involved helping with these kids? And I'm telling you, she about had a heart attack. Now, I'm not going to tell you why she about had a heart attack, but it was one of the most interesting moments I've had in an interview in a long time. Because clearly, she did not want to tell us if she was married or not. Which is her, you know, that's always anybody's prerogative in an interview. And I certainly didn't know if she was married or not. But it was interesting. It was an interesting moment. I learned out later on why she probably did not want to talk about that. But, you know, I certainly did not expect that question to get that kind of response. But it did, and that's the way it goes. Now, something else interesting about this whole bit was I did not even know there were pizza champions, pizza championships. I'd never heard of such a thing. But apparently it goes on in Las Vegas, I think once a year. And, oh, she'd also spoke at the White House. There were pictures of her, President Trump out there, and she was speaking at the White House for small business, I believe. So, you know, interesting girl. And it was an interesting time to go back over to Bell Fountain grounds, Bell Fountain, Ohio, in Logan County, some stomping grounds that I had been around when I was much, much younger. So that was Friday night. Now, yesterday ended up being a very busy day as well. Ended up over in Put-in Bay in Ohio. Had not been back to Put-in Bay since, I think, October of last year. Now, here's what I want to talk about with Put-in Bay before I talk about the fun of the trip. Now, on the way over to Put-in Bay, it occurred to me that, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic. There's no longer a mask mandate, but we're seeing the numbers go up in Ohio. A matter of fact, this past weekend, I think the Ohio State University said that all students, vaccinated or unvaccinated, now have to wear masks. I think that the protocol has gone out in a lot of counties saying that it's their recommendation that you wear a mask, vaccinated or unvaccinated. I think a lot of stores are saying that. You know, Marion City Schools is saying that in this area. So, I'm thinking a very busy place like Put-in Bay, probably the same type of thing going on. So I got over to Put-in Bay, and I purchased the tickets to get on the ferry to ride over to Put-in Bay. And as I was waiting for the ferry to come, I went over to the information desk, and I wanted to ask her if she had any masks. So I walked over to her, and I said, "Do you happen to have any masks?" And she said, "Hold on," and she pulls down this box from above. She pulls down this box, and she hands me a booklet. And I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "Are you going to Put-in Bay?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Okay, just go to the back of the book." Now I'm thinking, is the mask in the back of the book? So she's flipping me to the back of the book, and she points and she says, "That's Put-in Bay." And I thought, okay. Then it dawned on me what had happened. When I walked up to her and said, "Do you have any masks?" She thought I said, "Do you have any maps?" So I ended up getting a map. No mask, but I got a map. So, we go over to Put-in Bay on the ferry, and I think I saw probably one person wearing a mask, maybe two, on the ride over, and that was a little unsettling, because on the ferry, you are in very close quarters. Now, I did wear a mask on the ferry, but nobody was. And we got to Put-in Bay, which is about a 15 to 20 minute ferry ride, and we got over to the island, and we took the bus into town. Now, this is just an old school bus, and we got on the school bus, and, you know, a school bus can get pretty full, and you can get in pretty close quarters, and they're kind of confined quarters. I think I saw one person on the school bus with a mask on, maybe one. I wore it on the school bus, and that's just, I can see why people would not wear it outside, and I can even see why people wouldn't wear it in the shops, and maybe even in some of the restaurants, but the fact that nobody had it on the ferry, and nobody had it on the bus, that's just a little scary, because if we're to believe the numbers that only 37% of the people are fully vaccinated, or whatever it is now in Ohio, 40%, 45% are fully vaccinated, then at least half those people were not. And that's just problematic to me. It's unfortunate. Because I don't know, you know, who knows who will get sick and who will not. And we certainly don't wish anybody to get sick. But the one thing we know about this Delta variant is that it will attack you just like the original variant. And also that it's contagious. So people can make their own choices, I guess. And people can do what they want to do. And we'll see what happens as we go into the fall. But that was just an observation. that I made while I was there, but had a great, great time in Put-in Bay. Went over to the Heinemann's Winery, which is always a lot of fun, and had a couple I think I had one glass of wine while I was over there. I had the Bell wine, which is a very sweetish type of wine. Very good. And let's see, where did we go from there? Well, went to the gift shop. The gift shops in Put-in Bay are very affordably priced, which is nice for families that go over there. We went over to the gift shop. We went over to the, I'm trying to think of the name now. It's the big monument there in Put-in Bay. And it's, apparently it's the third tallest monument in the United States, behind the Washington Monument and I couldn't figure this out, the bridge in Seattle, Washington, but I'm not sure that that's a monument. It's Perry's Monument, big tall thing, straight up and down. Kind of reminds you of the Space Needle. So we went over and looked around there, and that's a great area to go over and look around. And we also went over to the Butterfly Cave, and that's a neat place. And, went to the Boardwalk. Now, the Boardwalk is a great place in Put-in Bay. So we went over to the Boardwalk. Now, this was kind of a funny thing. Now, the Boardwalk is a great, big, huge restaurant in Put-in Bay where you can eat and have a good time, and there's a bar in there, and you can sit inside or outside. So we go over to the Boardwalk, and we tell the maitre d' that we would like to sit outside. It was a beautiful day yesterday. You sit outside, and you can look at the lake. So she said, well, it's going to be about 15 minutes, so she gave us a little buzzer, and she said, you can go sit at the bar, you can order a drink, you can walk around and look at things, and we should have a table for you in about 15 minutes. And that sounded good. So we go over to the bar, and we order some sodas, waiting for the table to come up. And the guy said, well, this will be, I think it was $6 for both drinks. And he said, I'll be back and I'll get the money. Okay. So the buzzer goes off about 3 minutes after he says he's going to come back. So I'm trying to get his attention so I can give him the $6. And he would not come over. He was, I don't know, busy. I don't know. So in any event, just couldn't get his attention. So the waitress came over and she took us outside and we sat outside and she noticed that we had the drinks and said, at one point Angie went back in and tried to pay the guy and she couldn't get his attention. So we go outside and we sit outside and the waitress ended up noticing that we had the drinks and she said, did you get those from the bar? And we said, yes. So that was that. But it was just an odd little event that we could not flag down his attention. But I tell you, the Boardwalk is a place where you could just sit outside all day. It's all about food there, but it's also really, there's nothing like sitting at a nice table in a nice restaurant and you're on Lake Erie. That is just something else. And you watch the boats come in and the people out on the water having fun. And we sat there for quite a while before we did anything else. So it was a fun day over there. And I'll tell you, time goes by very, very fast. So Perry's Monument we did. We did the Boardwalk. We did the Butterfly Cave. We did Heinemann's Winery. We did the gift shops. And that was about all there was time to do in this particular day, and also drive around the island and kind of look at things. So it was a great, great Sunday, and then we ended up leaving just as sunset was coming. We got back on the ferry last night as the sun was setting, and last night I saw a lot of people taking pictures of the sunset, and to be out on Lake Erie seeing the sunset was great. And there was this flock of seagulls that was flying right over the ferry that we were on. I don't know where this flock of seagulls came from, but it was something else, I'll tell you that. Now, does anybody have any stories from Put-in Bay or Bell Fountain, Ohio, or anything of that nature? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Did you or did you not pay for the drinks?
We did pay for the drinks, yes.
Oh, I thought you got a free drink and that made you happy for your weekend.
Bye. Well, bye. Thank you. Well, you know, the whole drink thing was odd, though. Well, I think we paid for the drinks. You know what? To be honest with you, I'm going to have to think back and get the correct answer. I don't want to misinform you. I certainly know that we tried to pay for the drinks, and I know that the server did ask us if we got the drinks at the bar. I remember that. You know, I'm going to have to get clarification on this. I don't want to mislead you. I know that the drinks were $6. So I'll try to figure out the answer to that. But has anybody been over to 600 downtown in Bell Fountain, Ohio? Or maybe spent a lot of time in Bell Fountain, Ohio? Or do you have anything to say about Put-in Bay? Very interesting places. So that was my weekend. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now here's something I know for sure. We ordered some mozzarella sticks over at the boardwalk, and I certainly know that we paid for those. $11 for mozzarella sticks. 6 mozzarella sticks, $11. So right around $2 a mozzarella stick. They were good. I don't know if they were $2 good, but they were good. But that's the way it goes when you're in those type of places. That's how they keep the place up. So any stories from Bell Fountain, Ohio, or Put-in Bay, or anything of that nature, give us a buzz here. It's always good to hear from you. 740-383-9944. All right. Oh, I tell you, I want to thank one of our listeners this morning who dropped off a bunch of information for me. Which is great to use on the air. Now, one of the things I was looking through here this morning, it's a program schedule, although I'm not sure of the year, because there doesn't look like there's a copyright in this or anything, but it's a pamphlet that came out it's a WMRN pamphlet, program schedule, Your Friendly Neighbor, AM dial 1490, FM dial 106.9, Marion Broadcasting Company. And it's got the program schedule inside. Now, this schedule would have had to have been, I'm guessing, 60s or 70s. Late 60s or early 70s. But it's interesting. They really programmed radio to the minute. You know, they've got shows that were 5 minutes here. They've got shows that were an hour. They've got shows. Even their morning show here is programmed to the minute. I'll give you an example. They had what was called a good morning show. Now, I don't know if this was the time of Ed Pollan hosting this. I know he did that for a while. But it was called the good morning show, and it started at 5:40 in the morning. 5:40 in the morning. So I don't know what went on from 5:40 to 6, but it was the good morning show. But then at 6, there was headlines. 6:30, there was headlines. 6:45, there was weather. 6:50, local and Ohio news. 6:55, world news. 7 o'clock, sports review. 7:30, quickie quiz. 7:45, world and Ohio news. 7:55, local news. And 8 o'clock, meteorologist weather. And then it was over at, apparently it was over at 8:25, because at 8:25, a show came on from ABC called Speaking of Sports. So apparently the good morning show ran from 5:40 until 8:25. So what would that be? A little over 2 hours. So that's how that goes. back in those days. And then at 8:30, Over the Coffee Cups came on. Now, that was Madge Cooper's show. So that came on at 8:30. And that was on for 25 minutes. So she was on from 8:30 until 8:55. And then at 8:55, Paul Harvey came on up till 9 o'clock. Now, I don't know if the next show was a national show or a local show, but at 9 o'clock, there was a 15-minute show called Mary Blaine Time. Now, that led into The Breakfast Club, which started at 9:15. Now, The Breakfast Club was a national show. I believe Don McNeil was the guy's name, I think is what his name was. But that started at 9:15. But I don't know if this Mary Blaine Time was local or national. I think it was local, because it almost looks as if it was a national show, they've got ABC next to it. Like Breakfast Club says Breakfast Club ABC. And Speaking of Sports, it says Speaking of Sports ABC. So I'm thinking those were network shows, and Mary Blaine Time does not have that next to it. Paul Harvey, ABC. So I don't know what Mary Blaine Time is. Do any of the listeners who've been listening to radio for a long time know what Mary Blaine Time was? 9 a.m. During the week on WMRN, 9 a.m. till 9:15. I don't know what that would have been. And then there was Crawford County Time. That was on at 11 a.m. The Farm Hour was on at 12. And even that was broken down. The Farm Hour came on at 12. And at 12, there was News at Noon. 12:05 was the Farm Hour Weather. 12:15 was Grain Markets. 12:20 was the Farm Calendar. 12:25 was the Livestock Markets. 12:30 was Crop Tips. 12:35 was Guest Time, and 12:55 was Hymn Time. So that's how that all worked up. So there you go. That was a WMRN schedule from probably the 60s, most likely. But interesting stuff there, so I thank the listener for bringing that in. I'm always interested in stuff like that. And I hope people don't throw things like that away, because it's always good to get stuff like that. 740-383-9944, 47 and a half minutes past the hour here. Any memories of the old WMRN schedule, Put-in Bay, Bellefontaine, Ohio? Has nobody been over to Bellefontaine to the 600 Downtown Pizza Place award-winning Brittany, who hosts or owns the place? Let's see here. Well, I'm going to get into this. I don't know if this will trickle over to the next hour or not. But I'm going to get into this a little bit here, because it was an interesting weekend for another reason. As many of you know, on Friday we had Bill Cosby on the show. He was the mystery guest, and Bill Cosby came on at a little after 10 o'clock and was on for about 17 minutes. And that was that. And really didn't talk too much more about it here on the station that day. Oh, let's take the call here, and maybe I'll get back to this in a second. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning there, Scott. How you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing good. How you been?
Well, I've been about half.
Oh, well, are you feeling better?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm doing okay, really, considering.
I wondered if you were still out there or not.
Do what?
I said I wondered if you were still out there or not.
Well, been some dadgum busy. Seems to be like I'm so busy I don't, and then still don't get nothing done.
I can understand that.
But I hear you talking about these places, so on and so forth. Bellefontaine. Now, I've been in Bellefontaine. I worked a little bit in Bellefontaine, and I also done some business in Bellefontaine. And you're talking about the courthouse. It is neat. Bellefontaine ain't very big, but it is neat uptown. I've been in it, been through it several times, and I had business with Logan Building. Building the survey or permits and so on. So I built a house in Indian Lake, and you got to go to Bell Fountain to get your business taken care of. And I went there for a permit in Bell Fountain. And they are tough now when it comes to their permits. So you know it's Logan County, so you have to go there for I guess everything for whatever you're going to put up or whatever. But I had a terrible time out of that guy. Well, I got the permit, and I had a bigger problem with this instructor. So, I mean, you can't tell me too much about Bell Fountain. I either had the little dealers with. They are tough to, you know, of course, they want things done right, but they can be mighty. First of all, the inspector, he didn't hardly know nothing about building. Let's put it that way. Well, he picked my permit, you know, and my blueprint. He just picked it apart. And I was in the office trying to get the permit, you know, so on and so forth. And he was questioning me about what was going on. You know, you got things you got to go by, like the treated wood for plates and so on, and rafters and so on and so forth. And he tried to ask me, and I tell you, I don't want to criticize the guy too much, but he was putting it on me, so I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll just go back to him. And he asked me if I was going to put a center beam in at the top and one at the bottom. He says, you don't have nothing. He was going by a modular. You know, and I was a building a stick build on the spot. And he asked me where the ridge beam was. And I said, there's the trusses. You see, he looked at it. He said, I don't see no center beam. I said, guy, I said, does it make sense for me to buy a rafter? Because they're already built. They're already put together. You know what I'm talking about, if you know about any building or anything. I said, does it make sense to me, listen to me, to me go buy a rafter already made for what I'm doing, does it make sense for me to cut that sucker in two and put a ridge beam in it? Tell me about it now. Because you got a metal up at the top. That's where that ridge beam goes. You'd have to cut that metal out and cut that and plant that ridge beam in that truss. I said, does this make any sense that I would buy that rafter and then cut it up to put a ridge beam in? I mean, if I have to put a ridge beam in, I definitely wouldn't buy rafters. I'd put rafters up to it. But these rafters are already built. This is a factory-built truss, so you want me to cut into it and put your ridge beam in it? He hesitated a little bit, and he said, well, no, I guess not. Well, then the same way on the bottom. He said, where's your ridge beam down here to hold your floor joists up? And I had it drawn out in black and white. I said, I got three walls for it to lay on. Why would I have to put something else? And he was going by a modular, see. They don't require a beam underneath, you know, like a wall. See, I had a wall, not just a beam. I had a wall, a block wall for it to sit on. And he said, yeah, I guess you're right. I said, you're not familiar with a stick-built house, then, are you? Well, he didn't say yes or no, but I knew he didn't. Because then the inspector, he just upside down, man, my opinion. So I finally made it, so they're strict, but downtown Bell Fountain is nice. I'll have to go along with you. It ain't a big place, but what's there is nice. I'll have to agree with you.
But they must have knew I was coming to town because they blocked all the roads off.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you could see, I worked over at something. Bell Fountain rolled off the hill. You go, I don't know how you went in there. You went in 33 up, I assumed. If you did, if you noticed, you went up a hill about, a couple miles anyway, up a grade. And when you, I walked down there, and down in the valley, I was in the wintertime. Down in the valley, I'd run into a little bit of skift of snow, but chances are, when you got to the top of that hill, you had 2 or 3 inches of snow.
Well, isn't, there used to be a sign, now I remember this when I was a kid, when I was going over there camping. Now, I didn't see it this past, I might not have been paying attention on Friday, but isn't there a sign going to Belle Fountain that says this is the highest point in Ohio at some point?
Yeah, that Belle Fountain is supposed to be the highest point in Ohio. You don't notice as much until you start. Like I say, if you go in on 33, you go up a tremendous ways upgrade all the time. So anytime you go to upgrade, it's getting higher. You know that. And by the time you get to top up to Belle Fountain, you went up a pretty good grade. And you go right by the ski slope. 33 is right off to the left. Which way you're going, and you can see how high that is. But now you go right on and you keep going, and Belle Fountain's up higher yet. So Belle Fountain is the highest, supposed to be the highest place in Ohio.
But the courthouse is what really impressed me. I thought it was a nice little downtown, but when that courthouse is lit up at night, it is very impressive. Now, I was thinking, why can't we... I understand our courthouse is old, and I understand that, things like that take work, but I don't think it would take all that much to put some lights on the thing.
Well, don't Belle Fountain have some kind of circle in the middle there somewhere or not? Am I thinking somewhere else?
I think it does.
Does it have a go around right in the center with some kind of a something in the center there?
Yeah, it's all lit up.
Yeah. Well, the Kenton's courthouse the same way. Did you ever go by and see theirs lit up?
Especially
during Christmas.
Kenton has a great courthouse. Belle Fountain has a great courthouse. Upper Sandusky has a great courthouse. I don't know what's going on with ours.
Well, I don't know what's going on with our town, really. You get outside of Marion County and you run into some pretty good roads, but you can close your eyes and tell when you get in Marion County, especially the city. I don't like to put the finger on anybody, but... if you travel Barks Road North, and a new blacktop on it, and it didn't need no blacktop to first start, and look at these dad-blamed streets. And I can name a few more streets that was in good shape, and they blacktopped them again. Look at the ones in town. Have they blacktopped anything in town? Have they done anything in town?
Well, it's going to be interesting because they just got this ARPA money from the government, $1.8 million, I think. And I think there's 2 installments of that. I hope I'm saying this right. And, I know they have to spend that on certain things. And maybe... I certainly understand hiring police officers and firefighters and things of that nature, but maybe they could do something with half of that money, and maybe do... I mean, the courthouse is in the city. Now, I don't know if that land is annexed to the county. I don't really know how that works. But, dressing up the courthouse would be nice. We need something downtown that everybody will come to see. Not necessarily a business, just something like a statue or something, a mural. I don't want to steal the mural idea because that really started in Bucyrus or Upper, but we need something that nobody else has downtown, that the only place you can go is to see it in downtown.
Well, Scott, we pretty well have, if you just stop and think. We pretty well have a lot of other towns don't have. A little town is Kenton. They got halfway decent streets.
You You know what we need? Like,
look at, wait a minute, I threw you. Look at Maine. Look at Estridge. Look at Easton. Look at Estridge. All of them. Ripping a cob.
Well, our problem is, and I was saying this the other night, you know, Bellefontaine, Canton, Delaware, Upper Sandusky, all their downtowns are right off major roads that go to their towns.
Yeah.
The problem is, our major road, which came through this town, was 423 until they built the bypass, and the bypass is so far away from downtown that they don't feel they need to pave those streets downtown because they aren't as highly traveled as 23, the bypass. And I think that's the major problem. If you go Delaware, you get right off 23, downtown. Upper Sandusky, you get right off 23, downtown. Kenton, I believe it's 33, you get right off your downtown, which is really the only way to get in over there. All these places, Kenton, same thing. You know, you've got to go right through downtown. To Bucyrus, look at Bucyrus. You know, the Wendy's is right downtown in Bucyrus. Taco Bell, all those places. We don't have that in our downtown because it's on a route that is no longer as highly traveled.
Well, yeah. Well, now, Scott, we've got everything. We got quite a few businesses. Now, Whirlpool is a big outlet inlet. Of course, they put the bypass in, and that pretty well took care of uptown business or, you know, whatever, traveling. But, Scott, you got to think about the people that lives in town. I mean, I am a big taxpayer, landowner taxpayer, household taxpayer. They don't do nothing for me, all except send me a bill to pay. And I ain't the only one. There are a lot of other ones.
Well, you know what I advocate downtown? Now, I'm throwing this on the table for the first time this morning. I think we need something downtown that isn't anywhere else. And I think, not just because he was a good friend of mine, but Charlie Evers did so much for Marion. And he, Buckeye Chuck, which is still here, he put Lady Justice back on the courthouse over there. He did all this stuff. I think we need a statue of him downtown. And telling what he did.
Go ahead.
And I think people would come to see that because Buckeye Chuck's a big deal in Ohio. And they could come and see a statue of the man and we could put lights on it. You know, this would not cost all that $1.8 million. We could spend, like, you know, we could get it done probably for $50,000. And put that down to a nice statue with Jeff Charlie and a little plaque, like Dorothy Fulltime up in Cleveland, telling what he did, Buckeye Chuck and Lady Justice, Evers Arena, which is also in the city. You know, he raised all that money. Things he did with the Peanut Push for Junior Service Guild. Now, this man needs a monument in this town, as far as I'm concerned. Now, do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I'll agree with some of our well-known people. See, you're right. Charlie Edwards has been attributed to Marion ever since I can remember, and I'm getting along. I'm getting along, Scott. But one thing, my hat's off to him in one way, and another way I'm not. Now, you go uptown sometimes, mostly Friday evening or Saturday evening, real late. See the business they have on Main Street between church and center. Have you been up through there? Sometimes they close it completely off. Have you been up through there when they had a little bit of activity in there?
I've seen that.
Have you been through there then?
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess, but which it is good for business. You know, you could still go east or west. You go west on center and east on church. But now south, course, there's prospects. You can go south of Prospect and you go north on State. So it's not that big a deal to close off a street, especially no more than that is. And they get quite a bit of business right in that block there of Friday night and Saturday night when you're always pretty. So that's one good thing, drawing people downtown. If you don't want to go there, you can go to, you know, a few other places there you can go, but people all they want to do is go to Walmart. Seem to me like Walmart, Walmart, Walmart. Hey, Scott, you might be a Walmart fan, or everybody else out there pretty well is one. Walmart's right on the bottom of my list. Plain and simple as that.
I got to go to break, but feel free to call in. This is a good conversation to have, and I'm so glad you called. I'm glad to hear from you.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Take care. God
Thank
bless you.
Bye-bye. We're going to break back in 15 minutes.
www.wwgh1071.com.